Dark, a podcast about the CW's Riverdale that has been dark for a while but is becoming light for a very short period of time to talk about a totally bonkers thing from the past. I'm Alex.
When you record a spooky podcast from a spooky basement, it's even spookier. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And you are listening to Riverdale After Dark. As mentioned, this is a very special episode of Riverdale After Dark. I think we promised that we were going to do this episode, I want to say approximately 3 years ago, something like that, yeah. During the first season.
But to be fair, it's very difficult to get through this movie. So it's taken us that long to really watch.
Yes. We're going to be talking about Archie to Riverdale and back again, the 1990s TV movie. But before we do, I do want to mention something. So we played the Riverdale After Dark theme at the beginning here. I wanted to make sure it was working since we're doing this on video in two places. We had it on, we're simulcasting on Crowdcast and on YouTube, two different places. When I was trying to test out whether the theme would work, and so I played it for Pete, and Pete was like, "What is this? Wait, what is this? This is a creepy song." I was like, "Oh, Pete, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate it."
Yeah, he's not just a host; he's also a fan. He definitely doesn't. A lot of great shows and bands don't know their own hit songs.
Yeah, that was fucking creepy, man. We played that. I know we played something creepy, but that was really a whole nother level, man. I'm surprised we have people who like our show.
Yeah. Again, thank you. I remember 3 years ago when I was like, "Hey, what do you think about this?" And you sent back an email that said, "Great." So now I know you definitely listened to that. Let's talk about Archie to Riverdale and back again. As mentioned, this is a TV movie. It premiered May 6, 1990 on the NBC Sunday Night at the Movies. It was supposed to be a backdoor pilot. That was the original idea. They were going to do this as like, this is an ongoing TV show with an adult version of Archie and Betty and Veronica and the rest of the gang. And it tanked. It totally tanked the ratings.
Oh, you don't say.
It was 51st for the night. And that was back when there were like not as much to watch on TV.
Yeah, the crazy thing is there were 10 things on for the night and it was still 51st. Eventually it was released on VHS in 1997. It was called Archie Returned to Riverdale. In Australia, they called it Archie's Weekend Reunion, which I think is the coolest title probably.
Accurate. And it's the most accurate to what it is.
Yeah, I've never actually seen this one, but the Archie Comics released a one-shot comic book version adaptation of it, which was well-reviewed. Movie itself starred Christopher Rich as Archie, Lauren Holly as Betty, Karen Coppens as Veronica, and Sam Whipple as Jughead. And we are going to talk to him about it. I do want to do a couple of items of business first. First of all, for those of you who follow us on a regular comic book podcast, you probably know, like every other industry, comic books are suffering a lot right now. So we talked to our friends over at Archie Comics, and they said the best way of helping them out while comics are dark for a while, like everything else, is go to store.archiecomics.com. Go buy something there. I was checking it really quickly. If you use code AC50, you get 50% off the entire order there. And the Riverdale comics, we've reviewed them a bunch. They're great. They're very good.
Afterlife with Archie, one of our faves. The Sabrina comic, also very good, very spooky. It's like our theme song, but in book form.
Oh, no, yeah, it's better.
They adapted it. They've reached out for the adaptation rights, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So yeah, definitely check that out and support them. The other thing that I do want to mention, since we are going live into different places, if you're on Crowdcast, there's a little ask a question button. Please drop your questions there. We're going to do Q&A towards the end of the episode. If you're watching on YouTube, I am monitoring the comments over there. We'll definitely read through some of that stuff by the end of the show.
What a multi-hyphenate you are.
Yeah, what a guy. Yeah.
Look at him go monitoring stuff. He's probably checking Twitter.
Yeah, I'm honestly not even paying attention to this podcast right now, but
it does it so much.
Let's get into this. Let's talk about Archie to Riverdale and back again. First, I want to get your general impressions, and I will do a confession here. I actually watched it back in the day. I don't remember. Yeah, I don't think that I watched it when it was on NBC. I think I probably saw it on VHS at some point.
That's even weirder. You purchased a tape?
I don't think I purchased it. I probably rented it at the library or something.
Wow, library rental. That's big.
The coolest
time. What should I do on Friday night? Hang out with some cool teen friends or video from the library? I guess borrow. You're really just borrowing it.
The latter. Wow. I mean, or watch it there because it's safer. I do remember, though, the thing that was so funny about it when Riverdale eventually came out is I remember that instantly because my reaction seeing that was like, this is fucking stupid. Archie shouldn't be sexy. This is like a sexy and adult. Come on. This would never work. Mm. And I remember distinctly thinking that watching this movie and then Riverdale came out and I was like, oh yeah.
I think the trick they did with Riverdale as opposed to this movie is they cast actors that look like teens as opposed to actors like in this movie who look like they're fully in their 40s.
Yes. Yeah. Particularly in the flashback sections where it's like, you're not fooling anybody.
But if I had to your confession aside, and I'm sure you had a lot of great library nights in, but watching this movie, especially like if the main Riverdale show is like a great steak, this is like, oh, I love steak. I'm going to try dog food this week. I'm going to try a big old plateful of dog food.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was like, watching it. I was just kind of thinking to myself over and over again, why? Why are we doing this to ourselves?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I loved watching this movie, and I would recommend anyone watch it. It is old, and it is... It's a time capsule moment from a time in television that just doesn't exist anymore, where they were like, okay, hurry up. We have to make this movie.
For good reason.
Who cares what happens? But that's fun. Some things track in the show Riverdale that we watch and love.
Pete, you have a shocked expression on your face right now.
All right, yeah. First of all, the only thing that I watched it and they said Jingle Jangle, and I was like, oh my God, is the reason that there is a ridiculous scene named Drug on the show because of this fucking piece of shit?
It's not because of that. It's because there was an Archie song called Jingle Jangle, so that's why it shows up in this movie, and that's also why it showed up on Riverdale.
Yeah,
not to be all factual about it or whatever.
Sure.
That's a library talking, my man.
I do agree, though. I think like it is fun and ridiculous to watch this movie. You can't legally watch it anywhere. It's very surprisingly, it hasn't stayed on DVD or VHS. They haven't put it on Disney Plus or anything like that, which is weird. Yeah, but you can check it out on YouTube if you want to watch the full movie.
I actually think, Alex, it's on Disney Minus. You can check it out on Disney Minus.
Yeah, it's just Archie to Riverdale back again and Song of the South. And that's
I can't recommend this enough. Don't watch this movie. You're not going to be happy you did.
There are connections to the Riverdale, the show. Multiple attempted murders in this movie. Mm-hmm. Child murders.
Yes.
To this whole thing, there's a lot of like sexual farce and a bunch of crazy nonsense in that world, and honestly some of this stuff feels like David Lynch. Feels a little Twin Peaksy in the same way that
really all right now I feel like maybe you're going a little too far.
But here's the thing, it's not a it's what David Lynch is sort of like not making fun of, but almost satire the way that he made Twins at like melodrama with all this like super dark underpinnings. This show's just doing the melodrama. A lot of the scenes between Archie and Betty have this very sort of Lynchian, the scene in the library actually, where they're having a flashback and then she sort of slides into him and he's leaning against the stack of books. Like that's, I was like, oh, this could be out of an episode of Twin Peaks. So I think there's some stuff here.
Yeah. Do we want to jump into it? Do we want to start talking through Archie to Riverdale and back again? Justin, do you want to recap this one or
should we can sort of all do it together. I mean, obviously Pete's not going to be super helpful because he's mad in general.
There was one line that really made me laugh that kind of stuck with me. There was one line that I was like,
wait, what was it? Really? What was the one line you liked, Pete?
Would you want to wait and contribute it in the moment, or do you want to say it here?
Actually, I think that's better. Why don't you stay silent the entire podcast until you want to contribute that line?
Yeah.
As he sits back and sips his White Claw. This show is the White Claw of television, this movie.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I'll dive in. And please, I took so many notes. Feel free to.
Me too. I got to be honest. Most of my notes are like Betty talks to Archie, Veronica comes in, because most of the stuff is like nothing is happening in these scenes. It's just people walking in and out and talking to each other. And that's it.
Yes. But which I guess is a lot drama. That's literally what acting is. So we start off with a fun cover of Sugar Sugar, which it's totally cool to do that. That's what we do. We're the same as this movie.
Yeah. Please don't say
Justin
that.
To Riverdale After Dark and back again.
Oh my God. We meet Principal Weatherby right at the gate, who is a central figure to a lot of these characters, so much so that Veronica calls her high school principal from Paris to ask her if Archie, another student, would be attending the high school reunion, the 15-year high school reunion.
So I don't want to knock this off track right at the top, but something that struck me about this is much more purposefully, much more faithful to the characters than Riverdale is. Do you think that's ultimately a good thing or a bad thing?
Here's the thing.
Bad in this movie.
Yeah, I actually think it's a bad thing because this movie points out just how nonsensical it is that the whole thing of Archie is this guy has to choose between two women that he loves, I guess, and he can't. And it's all about him like fucking up. Like it's so goofy.
It is pretty embarrassing. And this is jumping ahead, but things where it's like, should I cheat on my fiance with this lady or this lady? There's nothing fun about that. And you mentioned earlier, or actually I think somebody was mentioning in the chat, over on YouTube, somebody mentioned that Archie definitely Jamie Lannistered the shit out of that kid. Like, there's several times where Archie almost murders children in this.
He pushes that kid out of the window. That kid could have died easy.
That's a high-ass
window.
Yeah, second story. The old laddered trick. Yeah, I agree. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And, I mean, Pam, Archie's fiance, is no fun. Like, that's not a good relationship, especially where she
is. Yeah, but that's the relationship he's in. It's like,
true. That's a great way to
talk more about that.
Way to look at it.
Pete, I think your girlfriend is watching. You want to talk more about this?
For a man who likes romantic comedies, it's weird for you to be like, he's in that relationship. That's where you should stay.
Yeah.
You must have loved Sleepless in Seattle, the cut where they just, Meg Ryan just stayed with Bill Pullman.
You're like, well, he's in a coma, so okay.
That's while you were sleeping, Alex. I'll thank you to please do some research before you get in here. Sorry about that.
I'll get it on VHS in the library.
Yeah.
Every time.
That's another movie they would have at the library.
Yes,
Every time in this movie, I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe this isn't so bad. Maybe this isn't just a dumpster fire of a shit show. It then took it to a whole nother level of insanity. And I had to keep stopping this movie because of horrible, horrible moments.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yes. Well, I know. What a time. It's a great way to fill your day.
Yeah. I got to be honest. I think that's the worst thing that I've heard recently.
It's not bad enough out there. You're going to make us watch this fucking thing. You watched it once and then was like, you know what? I think we're going to all watch this for a fucking podcast. That
I watched it today, and I had a blast doing it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I watch it once a week just to remind myself that life is finite.
Yeah,
it's true, and it's a good lesson you can take from this.
Yeah.
Diners are finite.
Anyway, I think we've gotten through one scene so far. Go ahead.
One scene so far, but the scene that made the most sense, where Veronica again calls from Paris to ask her high school principal if Archie's going to be there. How the fuck would he know that? And Weatherby doesn't seem to know what France is. She has to tell him multiple times where she's calling from.
Right.
So then we jump over. We have Lauren Holly as Betty, the one of two people who sort of retained fame from after doing this.
Wait, continue who's the other on the one? Pattern. Who's the other one?
The dude, Betty's boyfriend, who later went on to be Lloyd Braun in Seinfeld.
All right.
Wow, nice. Okay.
And that guy's been in a million things.
Aaron mentions Alex has probably seen it more times than anyone on Earth. That's true. I've seen it three times.
Yeah, I'm sure the librarian was like, I'm sorry, kid Al, can't borrow this video.
Yeah, go read a book.
More do the same.
Go read a book.
We see they're strong, very judgmental. And Archie with Pam, his fiance, he's sort of the big city to become a partner, it seems like, in a law firm where it seems like he's totally sold out from his small town roots.
Yeah. And I do think they don't, I mean, if we're going to get into any sort of criticism of this movie, which we really should probably not, but like they don't do a good job at all of setting up Pam as the worst. At the beginning, it's basically she's fine. I think up until the end when she pops up and she's like, Archie, these people are terrible. This town is terrible. And you come down or to New York or I'm breaking up with you. And it just ramps up insanely to set up this pilot because that's really all they were doing.
Yeah. Pam is fine. But I mean, she does a couple things. First off, she's a big Suspender fan, which is a red flag. She's like, also, it felt like this movie.
Color coding boxes is also a red flag.
She's trying to throw away ties.
This is starting to come together because I also used to wear suspenders a lot in high school and thought they were very cool.
Wow. This movie left an indelible mark.
Are you being fucking serious right now?
Yeah, being 100% serious. I was like, suspenders.
You went to high school in suspenders, rocking suspenders, thinking you were
just
like...
Just on fancy occasions.
Over informal wear, or were you sort of like some sort of Robin Williams character?
From
a teacher.
Yeah. Everybody used to call me Mork Zeldin.
I think they were saying dork, just to be clear.
Those do sound similar. You're right. Okay.
Dork.
Great. I feel like every episode we learn something new about each of us, and this feels like we're really focusing on Alex's history.
Yeah. Can we move on and talk about actually my favorite adaptation thing from here is Moose and Midge are chiropractors and giving Archie an adjustment, which I thought was actually fun. Like that was
Moose
a good
was
decision.
My favorite part, and the line that he had for his parking fine was unbelievable. That was the funniest thing I heard in the whole movie.
That was
hard to park here.
That was like a popsicle stick joke, dude.
That was fantastic. It was a fantastic joke in there.
The whole movie had to stop for Moose to say a very dumb joke.
Wait, what was the joke, Pete?
It's fine to park here.
He was in court for a parking ticket, and he'd park.
Oh, and he said it's fine to park here.
Yeah, okay, fine for parking. Yeah.
Did you read the sign? It's fine for parking.
Fine for parking. It's hysterical.
Okay. It was so funny that we had to have a solid explanation session. Like all great jokes. So we jump into.
I love that part. I'm sorry. It was just my favorite part, and Moose was solid throughout the whole movie.
I agree. Making Moose a chiropractor felt like a fun idea. And it was like, because they also still were like, Moose is dumb, but he's a doctor.
Yeah.
He went to med school to be a chiropractor.
Yeah. Yeah. With Midge, I think they probably went together and then they came out of it. And it does pay off nicely after Archie breaks his neck and he fixes it.
Yep.
Yes.
Archie almost
He breaks
dies.
His neck in the most dangerous thing possible, a game of go-kart. Very traditional Riverdale game of go-kart broom ball.
Yep.
Which we'll get to that later. We meet Jughead, who is actually, we meet Jughead, who is actually a shithead at the top of this movie.
Yeah.
He's like a bad dad.
He's terrible. He is. Well, they also have that very shticky introduction where he's on the couch and he's complaining about his problems.
Oh my God.
The patient reversal. Is like, and then he's like, so do you want to talk about anything with the rest of your time? And the patient's like, no, I'm fine. And leaves. And yeah. I was like, all right, I get it. It's no parking fine joke, but it's good.
Yeah. Jughead being a therapist was like, so I guess something that they was supposed to be a funny thing, but it just felt so odd.
Yeah.
Because he has the one who was like, I have all these psychological problems.
But he sprinkled in some fun moments with his like, kind of like, psychiatrist talk or whatever. I thought it was some
CP,
fun stuff.
You secretly love this. You secretly love this.
No, don't you fucking slowly. Dare.
You just love Jughead, so you're like, yeah, even this Jughead I love.
No.
Yeah. What would you say your two top movies of all times are? Number one is The Cutting Edge, of course. And then number two is Archie to Riverdale and Back Again, I'm thinking.
Oh my God, no.
It's a good call. You have this recorded on the same VHS tape as Tommy Boy, right?
Back to back in a loop all day long. Yep.
Super fun. Now, and let me just a small interruption from the steamrolling plot of this movie. But at any point were you like, oh, I think Jughead should be with Betty?
No, I think Jughead should be like, locked in a cage somewhere.
But I guess what I'm saying is like, were any Riverdale things bleeding over in
right.
your enjoyment of this?
No, this was
in the show Riverdale. I know it's been a while. Jughead and Betty are
not
dating
familiar.
For some.
Is this on TV or was this another NBC Sunday night movie?
Yeah.
Justin, not only are they dating in real life, but also on the show. That's how real it is. That's how love overpowering this kind of dynamic you have in your head that you keep trying to push onto a show that is actually handling it really well.
I actually think they broke up in real life.
Don't ruin this for me.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you.
I don't really, to be honest, I don't pay much attention to the celeb gossip stuff. I don't really like it. But I do feel like,
okay.
Pete,
so it was like a moment where people thought it happened, but then it didn't. It was like,
Pete, I'll just throw out
Pete's
to you.
Team beat.
Oh, Pete's team beat.
Pete's team beat.
Yeah. If their love is so powerful on the show, Betty and Jughead, Pete, don't you think it would go backwards in time to 1990 and affect the TV movie Archie to Riverdale and Back Again?
Yeah.
Pete. You would like to hope so.
I honestly, like, for this, it made a lot of sense to me to just focus on the classic love triangle, less so than it does in Riverdale. I thought that was good. I liked this. This sold me on Betty and Archie. I was much more into the Archie relationship in this TV movie.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Definitely. Archie passes Reggie's like gym/dealership. Doesn't make a lot of sense. He goes to Pops. He goes hard at some kids, the like greasers who work in Pops artifacts from the 50s or something, but they're teens here.
This is something that I feel like this is going to be so, again, like, I don't think this is worth the criticism, but I feel like this takes on too much where it's trying to be a TV movie. It's trying to be a backdoor pilot for like the adults of Riverdale are coming back to town and living there. And then it also somehow tries to be Archie Comics, The Next Generation, where it's setting up all these kids at the same time. And it doesn't know what it wants to do at any particular moment.
Oh yeah. You think that's the part where the movie falls apart?
Yes, that is it.
No.
There are other parts where it falls apart, like how Archie spots the Concorde jet in the sky as it's landing.
Amazing effect. There was a shadow that went across him. You hear a plane sound. He points. There's Blaine.
That's how television is done.
Yeah. So the part I want to talk about next, we can just talk about all at once. Mr. Lodge and his chauffeur in this.
Who is Mr. Lodge in this? Just a creepy old man who likes watching people do things?
Yeah. I have a bigger problem. What is TV's problem with giving Hiram Lodge a mustache? Why could he not have a mustache on TV? Why is Riverdale not here? You're the mustache only one here with a beard, Pete.
So,
but mustaches. What are mustaches? What's the like Magnum PI is the pinnacle of mustache culture.
Sure.
Where else are mustaches like around? Like, are people like, yeah, good. It's a good choice. You have a mustache.
Hiram Lodge, Commissioner Gordon, who also didn't get one on Gotham.
Gordon, Commissioner Gordon. Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. I just think let the mustache go. It's a thing from the past.
It's a weird choice, though, to be like, okay, we're going to have your classic Archie, classic Betty, classic Veronica. Jughead's a fucking weirdo. I don't know what's going on with him. Everybody else is all the classic characters look just they do. Step right out of the comic. Hiram Lodge is some creepy weirdo, just a creepy old guy, and that's his whole thing going on. I mean, come on.
Let me throw this out. I don't think they were sitting around having long thinks. A lot of the decisions here, because may I say, Mr. Lodge hates Archie still, obviously. The chauffeur forces Archie into the limo and he's like, don't you be around Veronica except at school sanctioned events. And then over the course of the movie, Archie commits 3 strikes. And so that pisses Mr. Lodge off. So he tells the chauffeur to kill
him, him, just straight up kill him.
He does that in. One, he somehow fucks up Archie's car so that it is stuck in drive and it's stuck full. The gas is on full, which I was like, that's not how cars technically
work. I thought at first that he cut the brake, but that's not what happened.
No, definitely.
The car went out of control.
Yeah.
And there's so many things going on in Riverdale. It just smashed through like the Harvest Festival, smashed through the park.
Busy weekend.
Yeah, that car hated vegetables. Do you notice that?
Yeah. I love how Jughead had time during that death drive when a head of lettuce lands in his lap. He's like, I ordered croutons.
Yeah.
Or some, he makes some
stupid remark. But that's very Archie comics. And again, I think they were trying to chattel that, but it doesn't work. I mean, granted, none of it works, but that doesn't work.
I do like how in case of emergency, just, you know, throw everything into that fake gym, you know, like that's where you crash. That's where bombs go. That's just, you know,
you did again. Once again, Pete, the biggest fan of this movie. So driving forward, someone's in Archie's house. It's Jughead and Jughead's son. Jughead's wearing some extremely baggy pants. Very neurotic. Kid plugs in the toaster.
So what's throwing you off about Jughead in this movie?
They were crazy. They were like, it was like reams of fabric. You could have
who
built.
Who cares?
For the guy Jughead or Jughead's kid?
For Jughead.
Yeah, well, he kept pulling sandwiches out of his pockets, so he had to have a lot of room for that.
Hey, are you spending a lot of time at home right now? Me too. That's why now is the perfect time to play Best Fiends. Best Fiends is a casual matching puzzle game, so you can boot it up whenever you're bored, between re-binging Riverdale for the 13th time or, you know, whenever. It's also playable off the internet, so if you're having Wi-Fi issues, like I am occasionally, no worries, Best Fiends is still there for you. Plus, things are always changing in the world of Best Fiends, since they keep releasing updates. I'm up to level 154 now, and I'm still being challenged every day with new, fun surprises. Plus, this is a free download. You can upgrade by paying for stuff, but there's no paywall. You can actually keep playing it for free forever if you want. And full disclosure, this episode was sponsored by Best Fiends. Hey, here's some info you'll probably want to know. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Yeah, he's got those, like pants, hammer pants, like the pants from The Mask. The kid plugs in the toaster and it fucking explodes.
Yeah. Well, you skipped over the green stuff, like the weird green stuff that he puts in Archie's bed that then Archie puts in his cereal.
No, it's just Jell-O.
Oh, is it just Jell-O?
It's just Jell-O.
It was a little hard to tell.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it was launching the prank war between Jughead Jr. and Archie, which nearly gets both of them killed. The exploding toaster burns Archie's tie. He converts it into a bow tie for some crazy plot point. Betty, who says she, Betty and Veronica meet each other. Betty says out of the gate, "I cut my own hair," which is a crazy thing to say at any point in a relationship, especially not to your rival for the first time you see them in 15 years. And Veronica, of course, can't remember where she got her very expensive dress.
The Betty, it's they bake Betty so sad in this, so just everything is going terribly for Betty, but she clearly, like, at least the actors, she has so much more chemistry with the dude playing Archie than Veronica does with him. Maybe that's the Archie stat of me talking, but I feel like that's how it went.
How 100%
could you say that?
Veronica was a crazy cartoon in this. She just kept walking up Archie being like, no, but Betty felt like there was something there underneath that. And the dude who played Archie was like pretty goofy, but like he at least had a little bit of charisma underneath that, I think. So
Pete, you agree?
I just think this is there is a fucking circus on fire and you're like, this clown shoes are a little bigger than I think is regulation. And it's a fucking circus fire. What are we talking about? There was an awful rap in this thing. I mean, I'm surprised there wasn't like an alien that showed up in the middle. It was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous in a fun way. And honestly, if a circus was on fire, like that's fun.
Yeah, that's fun. The
shoes would be fun. No.
Yeah.
Circus shouldn't be on fire, guys.
That's true.
Hey, thanks for taking that stand, Pete.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you made us watch a movie that is awful. And then you're like, now we're going to talk about it.
Start taking ownership of your life,
Pete. You have one-third of this podcast, Pete.
Yeah.
You haven't even heard the main theme before.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. I couldn't. It was such a like train wreck of a show that I couldn't believe like the emotions I was going through. And then they were like, Pops is in front of a fucking, bulldozer. And they cut to a little old man in front of them. I was like, oh, no, Pops. And then I'm like, what am I doing? This movie is ridiculous.
Yes.
I mean, should we talk about just to mention the main plot of the thing is that Reggie is going to get rid of Pops. And they want to stop Reggie from doing that. Eventually, down the road, it's revealed that Hiram is manipulating things. He owns
the ship. Which is Harry Riverdale. Very creepy.
All very Riverdale.
Creepy old man in any kind of van or car just looking out a window.
Oh, and we also forgot to mention they're all back in town for a reunion, for a high school reunion.
Their 15-year reunion. Well, that's another thing I think is funny. They made all of these characters in their early 30s.
Yes.
Which is... I don't know. That's to me is odd.
It just felt, I feel like that's more of the time, right? Like now we get things where everybody skews younger. Yeah. There it would be like, oh, we'll get, these actors and we'll cast them. They'll be in their 40s or their 50s.
They'll look like they're 45.
Yeah. It's cool. Don't worry about it. Everybody will go with it.
But then it's like, who's the show for? Is this like, oh, let's put it on after Murphy Brown and see if anybody just keeps watching.
Murphy Brown.
Which I think the guy that plays Archie went on to have a run as a character in Murphy Brown.
Oh, really? Yeah. I'm not even going to check that, but it definitely tracks.
It certainly tracks, and I could be making it up, but why would I?
Yeah. Actually, I do think Kevin in the comments said he was a recurring character on Reba, which tracks even hotter.
That's true. And to be fair, Reba really took the torch that Murphy Brown lit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. You don't need to specify.
I won't need to specify. And where's that torch now, Pete?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Where's Kevin torch? Says you're also right about Murphy Brown. Well, this is great. He had a great career.
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge run.
Hey, rest in peace, you know?
Wow, no, he's still alive. Yeah, actually, he is still alive. To roll through this a little bit, like Jughead Jr. says,
a rap happens that shouldn't have happened ever.
Jughead Jr. says waka waka when he sees a good looking woman.
Oh my God. Why are you bringing that up?
Wait, I want to mention, hold on, can we stop here for a second? John George says, if that's the 15-year reunion, how young did Jughead have his kids? I want you to remember in Riverdale, those kids are having kids in high school too. That's how we got this whole generation. So it's been well established. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. I mean, I guess he would have had to have been like 23. How old is that kid? Like 10, 12?
Yeah, something like that.
So he'd be like 22.
It looked like he was 45.
Yeah. The kid did? The kid too?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's right. You're kid blind. I forgot about that.
Let's not forget that. Yeah, he gave a cigarette to my daughter last time he saw her.
Can we talk about the ladder scene? Veronica sneaks in to his room, Archie's room at night. She's all sexy. She tries to seduce Archie. The kids in classic 80s, 90s movie fashion are like, oh, we're going to get up a ladder. We're going to sneak this and we're going to see some sex. And Archie, as we mentioned, pushes the ladder off of the window, almost killing Jughead Jr. Terrifying.
Yes. Very scary. Very scary. It was an attempted murder.
You gotta teach these kids. You can't go around saying these things. That's very sexist, and you know it's not right. So pushing the kid out the window, I guess, is how you did it back then.
Back in those days.
Yeah. No, it's a direct Game of Thrones reference. It really.
I know. I couldn't. It made me have a flashback to Game of Thrones.
Right, which is another show that you've seen.
I quit watching after they threw a kid out a window.
Oh, that's right.
Wow, that was episode one.
I wish I could have quit this.
You stuck with. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah, well, I would have, if I could have walked away, I would have.
Great. Wow, again, I feel like we are jailing you in our time here together. Yeah. What a lovely place to be. The plot of the movie, they're like, oh, you're going to play, the Archies are going to play at the high school reunion. And they're like, oh, we don't really get along, nor have we played our instruments in many years. One thing I also want to talk about, Betty wants to be a writer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she meets with Archie and she's like, hey Archie, let me read a little bit of, a little bit of my story. And it's about an Easter egg hunt.
Wait. No, I want to point out though, she says earlier in the movie, I want to be a writer. I remember when I left to be a writer and now I'm working this job. And then later he sits down with her and she goes, I'm going to be a writer. And he goes, oh, I didn't know that about you. And I'm going, are you not even paying attention to what she's saying? Because like she said that twice, bro. And I can't believe I've noticed this in this shitty movie and you haven't picked up on it once.
That's why I've always shipped Archie and you, Pete. Because Wait, I should have said Betty and you.
You mean Betty,
Betty, yeah, that's right. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
It's weird because I've been shipping Archie and Pete for so long, and I just hope it happens.
Archie. Hashtag Archie.
Archie. in this world, was Sugar Sugar a national hit, or was it just like a local song that they played? Because Jughead is at one point playing a record of it.
Right. So I guess the Archies existed and they became famous or something. That's the only thing that would explain why everybody was so excited for the Archies to play at this reunion. Yeah. And the fact that like they have a rap version on the radio later on and all of this other stuff. Otherwise, I don't know what's going on.
It's a little unclear, but it's either way, they must have really flamed out if they didn't make a living off of that national popular song. I don't understand the Jughead Jr.'s prank of just putting Jell-O on the bed. Like, that's not a very nuanced
prank. That's not a good prank.
Well, you got, you know, when you try to sleep, you got weird Jell-O in your bed, so that's kind of like an annoying thing. Can't go to sleep to get rid of the Jell-O.
You could do it. You could put anything there. Why would you put Jell-O?
Because he also does that prank. Slimy. He does that prank later on where, like, what does he do? He throws a tennis ball to Betty to make her bend down so he can see her underwear, which is also like, even that comparatively is a better prank than the Jell-O prank. And that's a bad prank.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, Alex going to bat for the old tennis ball prank.
Yeah. I mean, that's really sexist shit there. I don't know what you're talking about. What is in the comments, Aaron and John are talking about the incest. I don't remember there being incest in this movie. Do you know what you're talking about?
That's Game of Thrones they're talking about.
Oh, yes.
You should watch it. It gets crazy.
No, well,
you saw that in the scene.
We're taping a podcast, Pete. I'd appreciate it if you pay attention to that instead of the comments.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. Yeah, sure. Nice. Sure.
Alex is moderating several streams of comments.
Yeah, I got this.
We learned that Veronica has had 13 fiancés and 4 husbands. Good for her. Again, back on the old proverbial horse. She runs out, as Alex said. And then we get into sort of the legal plot line a little bit here, which is sure.
So yeah, Archie is definitely a lawyer. Yeah, that was very convincing.
Archie's a lawyer. He's going to represent Pops to try to get Pops to stay open. And we get to jump into the court stuff. Archie's like, I'm going to go figure out a loophole here. And he tries to. So they go to the trial. The whole town turns out, even though it's like a Saturday. The judge is like, I'm busy making bird feeders. I can't go to court. But because Archie drove his car and broke up every event in town, yeah, he has to come in to bail Archie out. This judge seems to really like Archie. Mm-hmm. And Reggie is representing himself, as is Archie. Archie's representing Pops. And Reggie's like, hey, I own this building. And the judge is like, okay, pretty strong case to you retaining ownership of it. And Archie's like, well, he tries to goodwill hunting the situation, absolutely fails, gives a speech. And the judge is like, hey, no, that's not how the law works here in America.
Right. But he does, at first he's like, that was a really great speech. And that came from your heart. Let's talk about this tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which is also not a legal way of, I don't know, anything working whatsoever, but it's fine. It's good. It gives them a little chance to do some other stuff.
Yeah. Some other fun stuff. We get a lot of flashbacks over the course of this, which are, I mean, basically I think shot for shot how the rest of Riverdale is going to play out this season.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think, hopefully they bring these actors back to play the kids in high school when we get flashbacks of them, because it worked real well.
Yeah, they're probably just aging into teen at this point in their lives. 30 years later.
Yeah, the flashbacks across the board, like, I think it was their way of saying, hey, remember these comics? This is a more grown-up version, but it's not. It's funny that, again, Riverdale has achieved that by having the teen actors, even though they're in their 20s, do this as teens, because that's actually how teens act. Like, it wasn't like in the 90s teens were never like that, or they were peachy clean like in the Archie comics. It's they were doing stuff too and solving murders and whatever. It's all good.
Yeah, but there's they also skirt that line, because there's all these conversations like, did Archie and Betty have sex? And they like can't figure it out, or they like stumble over the whole movie. Super weird. We get a chilling reminder of our current life when Archie shows up to Veronica's place and says to Veronica, is Donald Trump home?
Yeah.
Which I was like, whoof.
Ugh, gosh.
Can nothing
prescient. Prescient. Yeah. Cut that out, like Home Alone 2. Come on, we don't need to see that.
Yeah, barf. let's see. There's all the scenes between Betty and Archie, Veronica and Archie. Archie takes Veronica to their pond. We get a flashback where Mr. Lodge is directing his maid personally on how to clean his house. Everyone's leaving town. Archie feels left behind. There's all this sort of pathos they never really touch on. Mm-hmm.
That's the crazy part to me is like, oh, Archie, you forgot that you had two people who were madly in love with you, and then you've just been in a coma for 15 years, and then you came back and you go, oh, that's right, Betty and Veronica. I was getting married over here. I don't know what I was thinking. Like, what? Yeah. You're finally piecing this together that you like these women?
I think the idea is that Archie felt left behind by both Betty and Veronica. Like, this is because I think that's what I piece together as the underlying story here. And it doesn't really ever come clear. But it's like Archie could never choose between Betty and Veronica. And because of that, they both move on and leave him behind in town. So he's lost. So he pursues this life where he's married to a mean lawyer. Only when he sees them again does it bring him back to his small town roots and all of them by the end.
I don't know if she's a mean lawyer. She just got dragged to a fucking high school reunion and then put through the ringer as far as drama is concerned. And
I
then,
think
like,
she's a mean lawyer. There's nothing actually totally crazy happening there at any point in this movie. And the fact that she's like, this is ridiculous. We need to leave. What's going on here? I don't have any time for your high school reunion is bonkers. Like, that is a insane over-the-top reaction that she has to absolutely everything that's happening.
What are you talking about? She gets dragged on all this bullshit adventure and this high school drama, and then like Archie's rushing her out of rooms because there's two women in the room. And it's just like, it's obvious that he's not being honest with what's going on, and then she finally calls bullshit and she's mean.
Relationships are based on compromise, and sometimes every relationship, particularly when you're about to get married, sometimes you go to visit your fiance and he has one woman in the shower and one woman in Veronica's closet, which was a very funny joke on a current sitcom. Then he ushers you out the door and throws you in a car, and they get in a fight by a pond. That's how relationships work, Pete.
Yes. Oh,
okay. All right.
Did you guys notice how there was a very odd statue in Archie's hotel room? It was like a woman in. It was very odd. It was like a horror movie.
No, I didn't notice that.
Maybe I just imagined it. Jughead and Archie, they go to the find a bunch of old junk, and they have all these like sentimental lines, like we had great stuff. The best stuff.
But the stuff is like a jock strap that they find. What is going on? What was that? An
old-timey football helmet, the jukebox.
I thought they were trying to find things that would like make it a historical landmark that he could like claim it as. I thought that's what they were going for, because otherwise, like, what are they doing talking about old shit like that?
Again, it seems like you paid much more attention to this than we did, Pete. It's interesting that you keep slamming it.
Yeah, you love it.
It's an awesome movie.
And speaking of loving it, number two with the bullet right after Cutting Edge. Great movie.
Great movie. Topic.
Let's get into the centerpiece of the movie, performance of the movie, in which Jughead, in a sort of last ditch attempt to connect with his son, he raps over his signature track, Sugar Sugar.
Oh man.
Not only does he rap.
No, we shouldn't.
He does some real like popping and locking shit, and he is basically a man of rubber.
Yeah, Jughead's dance moves I couldn't stop watching because I was like, the way he's moving is so interestingly odd that it's a very interesting. Like, I was like, this is awful or kind of amazing. I don't know.
In another world, he would be our Jim Carrey.
Wow. Before we get into it too much, I know we've just talked about it. Tell you what, if you're listening to the audio podcast, you're only going to hear this. But if you are watching the streams, let's watch this clip.
We get the rights?
We got the rights to it. Here we go.
You're shy with girls, just like your father.
And not our two.
And not
our. Listen, I've got a plan.
Oh, no.
Come here.
Yee-haw! Sugar. Ah, honey.
You are my candy girl, and you got me. Sugar. Aw, honey, honey. You are my candy girl, and you got me rocking you.
Put it down.
When I kiss you, girl, never knew how sweet a kiss could be. Then you laid your ever-loving stuff on me.
Break it down for me, fella.
I don't want to make your life so sweet.
Rockin' that, movin' that, shakin' that stuff.
I don't want to rock your world complete.
Rockin' that,
movin'
that,
movin' that.
Pour a little sugar on it.
Ah,
sugar.
Ah, honey, honey.
You are my candy girl.
And you got me rockin' you. Break it down, woman, please.
Sugar.
Aw, oh, honey, honey.
You are my candy girl.
And you got me rocking you. Break it down, come on.
And you got me.
And you got me.
And you got me.
Break it down, won't you please?
Crowd.
Is that amused you?
It was Steamer Dad.
Yo, give me five, my man.
You a fish, yo.
Oh, you were styling too, my man. Oh, did you see that move I busted?
Oh,
I was grooving.
Stop.
What was I grooving?
Oh my god, I love that so much.
Honestly, could we just let's just play it through one more time just to make sure we get a real handle on it.
Oh yeah, that's a really good idea. I did actually write down the lyrics. And I was like, and I started doing it being like, hey, it'd be fun if we all do our own take on the Jughead rap at some point during the podcast. And then when I was halfway through writing the lyrics, I was like, these are fucking stupid.
Yeah.
This is just dumb.
Don't Jughead Jr. goes from being hating it and being so embarrassed from about his father to loving it and also contributing to it in a second.
Yeah.
He turns it right around.
Yeah. It's almost like
there was no reason to actually do it.
It's the 90s. Like, it's this to me is a perfect time capsule of 90s stuff where it's like, we got to have a rap break. We absolutely have to have a rap break. That's just got to go on. Who's going to do it? Jughead Jones. That's the guy who's going to do it.
He's the one who really has the most connection to the hip hop community.
I'm just, it's awful. This movie does not hold up Pete, in any way, shape, or form.
Pete, could you give us a rose and a thorn about the Jughead rap? And by that, I mean something you liked and something that you didn't like.
No, I can't give you something that I liked.
I can give it a try. See,
yeah, just put together something. Something
positive, because you know everyone's making an effort. It was a lovely day when they did it. The boombox was pretty cool.
Yeah, the boombox was cool,
but you can't take those. You have to come up with your own.
That little girl seemed to be super into it. She was like, "Yeah,
yeah." But she went on.
Aaron pointed out the way that Jughead talked to those little girls was gross. It's gross.
He wasn't hitting on the little
movie. He wasn't. He was doing it for his son. For Jughead Jr. to get him out of the Jell-O mines.
Don't make excuses.
And into having a solid relationship with somebody in the town of Riverdale.
Yeah. Jughead Jr. went on to marry that young girl. And they went on to both become hip hop legends in this town and in the universe.
Yeah. Perhaps you've heard of Run DMC, Pete.
Don't you dare associate something that is that legendary to that piece of shit. Yeah. Fuck you.
So great. Thanks for your help there, Pete. I'm going to play that as often that as I can in your presence from here on out.
Yeah. Do you want me to just play the audio?
See how that goes for you and then me punching you in the face.
You can't punch through the internet, Pete.
Sugar. Aw, honey, honey. You are my candy girl. And you got me.
All right, I think that's probably enough of that. That's good. Pete, did you leave? What just happened?
Just the beatboxing alone.
Oh, he took out his headphones. Yeah, no, it's awful. The whole thing is awful. There's... Wait, what were the lyric that really got me? Then when
the
I kissed you,
that
girl...
Really got me.
When you kissed you, girl, never knew how sweet a kiss could be. Then you laid your ever-loving stuff on me.
Ever-loving stuff is very romantic.
That's not good. It's just not good.
So we're getting into a more more of the plot. We're coming up on the end. We get to see a fan favorite, Pete favorite, Dark Betty, shows up to Archie's hotel room. Archie was kicked out of his house by the people who were buying it from him, and they actively broke into his home and started moving his furniture out. So he had to go to a hotel room, which makes total sense in how the real world works.
Sure.
Betty finds him there. She's in like different clothes, clothes she didn't make at home. And Betty wants to be wild. Archie has moved the jukebox he found in the garbage into his hotel room. Makes sense. Betty's like, I want to take a shower. And so she does, and he gets a knock on the door. Veronica is there. Ironically, her fantasy is also to take a shower.
It's crazy.
These women, they just have they love him.
Yeah, and it's not just any shower either. When Betty opens the door and she's wearing a skimpy negligee, there is so much steam coming out of that shower room. Yeah. Like, she has it on 300 degrees in there.
It's going to be a hot shower.
Yeah,
hot
her scene. Fantasy is to, like, get fucking scalded.
Yeah. Well, the fun part about this scene also is, like, Betty shows up in a dress. She puts on more clothes and is wearing some other outfit.
Yeah.
And then a second later, she's wearing just a towel when Archie's fiance shows up, scares him. He bails, leaving Betty and Veronica trapped in his room together. And they come out and are like, we need to talk.
Yeah.
They need to sort this out.
Yeah. And they don't quite, like, they don't quite sort it out until we actually get to the reunion, right? I don't know if there's stuff between that.
I don't know if we have time to get into the reunion. You know what I mean?
We should just wrap it up here. Can we talk about, so I kind of missed this, but the girl, there was that bit where there's the girl that Jughead does not want to see the entire movie. Is that Ethel? Was that?
Yeah. Yes. Big Ethel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Big Ethel. And he's like, I don't want to see Big Ethel. And it turns out Big Ethel is hot.
Yes. Yeah, what an
awful thing of, like, she can't be a person unless she's good looking and a model. And it's just awful.
It's very stupid. The obvious thing that they had set up. But it's also weird because they don't allude to the idea that Jughead is going to be with her. It's just, they have a scene where she goes there and she's like, ha, and they're like, get in the jacuzzi. And then we never talk about her ever again. She's at the dance, but
in the comics, Ethel was always after Jughead. Right. So I think, I feel like you're just supposed to know that from the comics, but they don't establish it anywhere in the movie at all.
Yes. I mean, they do say earlier that she's not good looking and that Jughead doesn't like her or whatever.
Yeah. Do you think Jughead Jr. seems pretty excited about her too, and they both chase after her. Do you think Jughead and Jughead Jr. are going to fight for Big Ethel's affections?
Yes, she's the Archie now. You can always tell when Jughead Jr. is into something because he says his catchphrase, waka waka.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Classic. Classic Jughead Jr. catchphrase.
Yep. Betty and Veronica, we're both in love with you and you have to choose.
Yeah.
This is they're at the big dance. Robert and Pam, Robert is, Betty's boyfriend. Betty breaks up with him. Archie's done with Pam. They instantly connect. And we later find out that they went home that night and hooked up oddly, even though they're both pretty
engaged. They were standing next to each other and partying and like, high school reunion is blow. And she was like, yeah, they do.
Yeah, that's enough to build a relationship out of in a small town.
Yeah. I'll just mention we have a quick question for the comments here on Crowdcast. Sarah C. Schaefer says, didn't Jughead marry her in a comic? He might have. Was it Life with Archie, the one where they zoom through to the future?
Yes.
Where we got to see Archie marry Betty and Archie marry Veronica? I think that's where it happened.
Yes, I think that's correct. I think one of those. I'm going to just guess the Betty one. I think Jughead marries Ethel.
Yeah. There you go. Sorry. Take it away, Justin.
The Archies take the stage and play some real Jimmy Buffett style bullshit for everyone to dance to. But the performance is interrupted by a series of nonsensical things.
I'm so glad it was interrupted, by the way.
What a surprise. Pop Tate won't move. Bulldozers are legit going to roll over.
Oh, man.
Everyone locks arms. Betty breaks up with her boyfriend. Pam confronts Archie. They're all dispensed with. They go have sex.
Right. That's bad timing, though. Pam walking up and being like, hey, I know you're in the middle of a protest, but we got to talk about our shit right now. That's rude of her. I know I keep going back and forth on Pam, God. But I think ultimately, what is my deal?
Yeah.
I just can't stay consistent on Pam. That's what my deal is right now.
All right. Okay.
Pick a side, Alex. Pick a Pam side.
I don't know. Very hot and cold about her.
Yeah.
Just like Archie. Go ahead, Pete.
No, I completely forgot what I was going to say because I got lost in the whole Pam of it all there. So
lost in the Pam. God, what if you're such a fan that you get lost in the oeuvre of this movie to Riverdale and back again?
Yeah.
They're all there wrestling. Veronica confronts Hiram. Yes.
Oh, Pete remembered.
I remembered. I did really like Betty's speech where she was just like, "Yo, I'm not. You can't order me around. Like your shit is fucking whack. I deserve better." And I was like, all right, Betty. All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
So they're having this big confrontation. The chauffeur is there. He's given Archie a bomb.
It was a nice little present at first.
It was a tiny bomb.
Hey, this is from Veronica.
And Mr. Lodge is like, I said eliminate him, not kill him. And the chauffeur's like, hey, man, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm gonna blow him up. And then Veronica is like, don't do this. And he's like, all right, I won't do this. And the chauffeur's like, no, I'm gonna fucking blow up Archie. I don't care.
That's a good
chauffeur's like, I kind of want to do it now. I don't like this guy.
Yeah.
He's like, if you've been watching this movie, it's awful.
Yeah. Is the chauffeur somebody? I felt like we were supposed to know who the chauffeur was, but it wasn't Smithers.
It should have been Smithers. It should have been Smithers the whole time. 100%.
But Smithers was with Veronica. In Paris.
Was with Veronica?
Yeah, dating married to Veronica.
Wow, he was the final fiancé. Yeah. It's the kind of stuff that happens in France. Real May-December romance.
Look at Gerard Depardieu.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you want to take a second to stop and look at him, right?
Look at him?
Just look at him. Do you want me to get a picture of him? I can bring that up in the show.
My Father the Hero.
Yeah.
My Father the Hero, famous movie. So Mr. Lodge is wrestling with the chauffeur who has a remote control on the bomb.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, everyone's running
him up. Archie's just holding it, being like, it's a bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Archie throws it into Reggie's gym/car dealership. And Reggie's like, that's not a bomb. And it is. It blows up, wrecking his yuppie gym, killing no one. And that's basically the climax of the movie. We get a lot of like Pam's leaving with Robert. Jughead and Jughead Jr. are getting in the bus that just says city on it.
That was hysterical. Any city. Get me the fuck
out of here. Leaving Archie alone with his diner. But then Betty and Veronica walk in with the same message of choose one of us. Choose.
What? And he doesn't choose ultimately.
No, he doesn't.
Instead, Jughead inexplicably comes in through the back way and pops, I think. Like he left on the bus. They got off the bus, ran back in, I have to assume, 2 minutes, came in the back way and pops that are already there, which is bonkers.
Yes. And we get Betty got a publisher. She's staying in town to write romance novels and maybe teach. Veronica is, for some reason, choosing Riverdale over Paris. The moment where they're like, so what's up with your fiance? And Archie's like, oh, we broke up. And there's this little moment where they have a little like arm, which was very ridiculous. They fight over which chair to have next to Archie. They're being like 12-year-olds. Pop wants a pick. Reggie wanders in just to be in the picture.
I was screaming. No, I was like, no, Reggie, you don't get to be in the pick.
Hey, his place got blown up.
Yeah, he's clearly the villain.
He's the reason the whole thing happened. So, no, you don't get in the pick.
But everything worked out fine.
You can't close Pops and then get in the picture that Pops is taking.
Well, Pop wanted him in there because he thinks that kids are nice, even though they take advantage of him. Both women breathlessly looking at Archie as they take the picture. End of movie, and we get an ad for a brand new episode of the Hogan Family on the YouTube channel.
Did you watch that afterwards?
I did what the movie told me to do. So, yeah, I watched that.
Great.
Hogan Family. Excellent. Featuring Jason Bateman.
Wow. So there we go. Archie to Riverdale and back again. Now, as we end every episode of Riverdale After Dark, who is the MVP of this episode of this TV show? Who is the best character? Pete, I'll go to you first. What?
Moose.
Moose. Anything further you want to say? Oh, just Moose do some antlers over there.
Yeah, I thought, he saved the day with his doctorate and his healing hands. Really, it was beautiful.
Oh, that's wow. Great. Justin, what about you? MVP for the episode?
I mean, I got to go Betty all day, air day.
Yeah, there we go.
She comes out strong. I think the relationship between Archie and Betty, I believed more than anything else in this. Yeah, and I thought she did a good job throughout. She was one of the more grounded characters.
Yes.
And I just hope whoever plays her goes on to do like dumb and even dumber things in her.
I'm going to have to give MVP to Cheryl for staying the fuck out of this thing. She definitely won.
Wait, you mean like the platonic ideal of Cheryl, or do you mean Cheryl who wasn't around?
Yeah, she wasn't around at all. I'm saying like Cheryl won this by not being involved in any way. So
by not being born yet? Madeline Page probably wasn't born
not
yet.
Madeline Page, the actress, but Cheryl Blossom, the character, was just not there. So she got away scot-free. And I have to imagine when they eventually do a sequel to Archie to Riverdale and back again, she'll be the star and it'll be much better.
Don't make us watch it.
Yeah, I definitely will. Pete, you're going to have to watch it every day for the rest of your life. Okay. Folks, thank you so much for listening to Riverdale After Dark. Now we are finally going to be back with a regular episode of the show next Wednesday, not the upcoming Wednesday, but the Wednesday after that for the Hedwig musical episode. So that's very exciting. We're excited to see that and check that out and start talking about our favorite show on the television then. In the meantime, if you want to check us out socially, at Riverdale Dark on Twitter, at Riverdale After on Instagram, at Riverdale After Dark on Facebook, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen to the show. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support the show. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. And remember, we'll see you after dark. Pete, listen to it. Listen to it, Pete. Listen to the theme, Pete. Come on, Pete.
The song's going to follow you, Pete. The song's listening to you. The song's going to see you in your nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Pete.
You're my candy girl, and you got me wanting you. You're my candy. You're going to me.